This is Speaking of Faith, First Person. This online exclusive is part of Repossessing Virtue, an ongoing series in which we search for fresh ways to think and talk about the current economic crisis. I'm Trent Gillis, the online editor and producer for the program. Here I speak with Jim King, an owner of a plastics recycling company living in Telford, Pennsylvania. He responded to our questions about the moral and spiritual aspects of the economic downturn with this story, which we asked him to tell in his own words.
Several weeks ago, I went with 12 other men to Benton, Kentucky, with our chainsaws to work with Mennonite Disaster Service, cleaning up properties for mostly elderly people who had been affected by a recent ice storm. I was asked by a local person there why we were doing this. Why did we come all the way from Pennsylvania to help them? I responded that back home, our economy is not doing well either. In fact, several of the Amish men in my group were presently out of work because the construction industry is at a standstill. And since their companies were not expecting a bailout, why not use the time to go give someone else a bailout? What better stimulus is there than to help a neighbor in need, even if they are 800 miles away? To me, seeing the joy on an elderly person's face and listening to people's stories about the ice storm was ample reward. Hearing 12 chainsaws in a backyard is stimulus enough for me.
That's great. So as you think about the economy and the downturn, do you see this as a moral or spiritual crisis? Do you consider it a moral? Is it a personal one? Is it a cultural one?
It's both. But speaking more personally, I think many of us, in our community, I look at it as maybe we lost or ignored our spiritual compass. I think we assumed we had the right to drive whatever type of vehicle we chose, buy a house larger than we could afford, and then fill it with things we can barely use. So now we come to find out that our environment can't take it anymore, and we can't afford the bills either. Well, I have to think back now. When I was in Sunday school as a child, we used to sing that song. It went something like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. And then that song goes on to describe what happened to the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And I think about now, a lot of us are feeling a little foolish for what we had our faith in.
As you think about this now, I mean, do a lot of things from your upbringing, do you look back fondly or as moments of wisdom that you didn't realize until times like these?
I think so. I look back now and think of the times that we as a family worked in the garden, and this year I'm planting a bigger garden. And I enjoy taking care of it anyway. And a couple reasons about that. And I know that the food pantries in my community will need the extra food I have, and it's a hobby. However, some things, as I look back too and growing up, some things won't change. And every year for about 10 months out of the year, my family hosts a young person from another country. And then that person comes to live with us, works in our community, and I think it's a great way for us to build bridges between our church, our community, and other cultures around the world. And also, I think, as I look back on my childhood, I was raised in a family that we were taught to manage our money as children fairly well, and I want to work on that with my family, and sometimes that's a struggle with so much materialism around us. My son wants the same things that he sees other people have. And at the same time, I don't want to come across as being stingy. I want to be generous in an environment like this. The world needs people who are generous and willing to look out for each other.
Since I'm a father of two boys now, they're fairly young, maybe you can give me some advice on, I mean, what are you doing that that straddles that line between being a tyrant and always saying no and being somebody that's gracious and generous and imparts that kind of gift, I guess, to their children?
Well, one of the things that I do is I meet for breakfast once a month with about five other businessmen. And we share together ways that we work with our families, ideas that we have, and projects that we do to help our children manage money wisely and still be generous. Hmm. Also, we have, as our family has grown older, have a teenage son, we have focused on taking vacations that are kind of like work vacations, like volunteer work vacations where we can go work for Mennonite Disaster Service or do a Habitat for Humanity project. We've gone to Guatemala with a MITA project, different things like that where we can combine travel with doing something to, again, bridge the gap between other cultures.
So bridge the gap between family members as well?
Yeah.
I can imagine it's quite a bonding experience.
Absolutely.
What are some of the moral and spiritual resources? You know, what virtues do you bring to approaching these types of decisions and ways of teaching and learning in your life? Or I think you've described a little bit with some of your colleagues.
Mm-hmm. I think looking back, my focus has been, well, I've thought a lot about this lately. I think I'm trying to live more with less. There's actually a book of that title that my aunt wrote many years ago, Living More with Less.
Hmm.
And it gives some ideas of how to, from a faith-based perspective, how we can eat well, still live well, and yet go a little more softly on the environment.
Does that bring a deeper dimension to your faith?
It does, but it also takes the support of the people of faith around me.
Mm.
I can't do it myself, and I can't do it just by reading a recipe book. I need to surround myself by the people of faith and my faith community. And like I say, this small men's breakfast group is an inspiration. So are the people from my work. I enjoy the relationships that I have, meeting people on a daily basis that challenge me in my thinking in this regard, too.
And so are you doing something different now than you may have been doing a year ago? Or, you know, how is it different and why?
I think I will have a tendency to go to a thrift store quicker to buy clothes instead of looking for new. I encourage my family to do the same. We've had a family meeting at home a couple of times and have discussed how the world is different than it was in 2007 and what is it we're going to do about it.
Hmm.
And a couple of those things was planting a bigger garden, turning off lights in a room if we're not using it.
In some ways, pretty simple stuff, no?
It has to be pretty simple, pretty basic. Otherwise, we lose sight of the bigger picture.
Right. The goal can just seem too large and unattainable.
Right. Or it seems like we're not making a difference anyway.
Right. And what kind of wisdom or leadership are you looking for at this time? Somebody close to your life, a certain book, a person, a leader, a program? Where are you finding that?
I think I'm looking for leadership and guidance that will help me teach responsible faith values to my son. I'm looking for leadership and guidance to help him learn to be generous with his time, with his talents, and with his resources. And I'm not only looking for leadership, but I think we have a challenge to be leaders. We have the challenge to be different, to follow the wisdom that we learned years ago and from each particular faith that we come from. There's a lot of wisdom in what our faith communities have to offer, and by going back to that well, it's like a well of living water, we can find a new perspective that might be a challenge us to live differently.
Is there a particular author or leader within the Mennonite tradition that you think about or you've heard or a quote from somebody that means something?
I don't think of particular leaders. I am challenged by the example of several Mennonite organizations, such as Mennonite Disaster Service, Mennonite Central Committee, and their programs that they do, as well as Mennonite Economic Development Associates, which does more international development work for small businesses, helping business entrepreneurs around the world. So I guess I feel more tied into particular Mennonite organizations and feel good about the work that they do.
And one final question here. Some people see this as an economic crisis and the end of the American dream, you know, whether it's education or opportunity, a house, a car. Do you see it as the end of the American dream or perhaps as the beginning of a new American dream?
I see it as the beginning of a new American dream. This is now the opportunity for us to get it right and an opportunity for people of faith to not be shy and to come forward and offer real solutions to an environmental problem and a spiritual problem. I would hope that people of faith can step forward, put real solutions, that we can put real solutions out there and begin to make a difference and demonstrate that it makes a difference.
Are you living the next American dream, or have you been living that version?
I think I've been living the American dream. I feel particularly blessed. Yes, I've been vulnerable, but throughout my life I've felt that my purpose in life has been to be generous, to be making a difference in the kind of work that I do, and I've been successful doing it, or else lucky, not sure. But I feel fortunate and that I've been afforded the opportunities, the relationship, business relationships that I have. So, I guess I'm living the American dream, but I challenge my son to the fact that it will be much more difficult for him.
That was Jim King. He's the owner of a plastics recycling company living in Telford, Pennsylvania. This is Repossessing Virtue, Speaking of Faith's continuing exploration of the economic crisis. For more, subscribe to the SOF podcast and visit speakingoffaith.org.